This week's Parsha is Parsha's Balak, and we will start at the beginning of the Parsha, which is chapter 22, verse number 2. The verse says, Vayar Balak ben Zippor, and Balak, the son of Zippor, saw. What did he see? Es kol asher asa Yisrael le'amori, everything that Israel did to the Amori. Then the verse says, Vayakar Moav mipnei ha'Amorit, Moav was very frightened of the people, kiravu, because they are very numerous. Vayakotz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. Moav became disgusted in the face of the children of Israel. The first Rashi of the Parsha explains what does it mean that Balak saw everything that Israel did to the Amori. Rashi explains that since Parshas Balak comes right after the fight that we had against the two kings, Sichon and Og, and Sichon is Melech Amori and Og Melech HaBoshon, and Balak saw what the Jewish people did to these two kings. So Balak says, if these two kings that we relied on and were so strong, they couldn't stand against the Jewish people, for sure we won't be able to stand against the Jewish people. Therefore it says, Vayagar Moav, that Moav became scared. The problem with Rashi's interpretation is that if it is according to Rashi's interpretation, then the Torah should have written the verse differently, meaning that Rashi says that Balak saw what the Jewish people did to the two kings, to Sichon Melech Amori and Og Melech HaBashan, and therefore he became frightened. But if that would be true, then the Torah should have written also in regards to Og Melech HaBashan, because the Torah says that Balak ben Zippor saw everything that the Jewish people did to the Amorite. It does not say everything that the Jewish people did to the person from Bashan, to Og Melech HaBashan. Therefore, the Torah must mean something else. And if you are going to tell me that the Torah could have written down both of them, but the Torah decided to write one of them, and as example, the Torah decided to take Sichon Melech HaMoiri, I would say that if the Torah wanted to write down one of them, then the Torah should have specifically written down Og Melech HaBashan. Because in regards to Og Melech HaBashan, in last week's Parsha, in chapter 21, verse number 34, there it says that Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tira oisoi, do not fear him, referring to Og Melech HaBashan, ki veyot chanosati oisoi ves kolamoi ves artoi, because I gave him and all his nation and all his land in your hand. There, Rashi is bothered, why does Hashem have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu not to fear Og? Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Nida, Daf Samach Aleph 61, that there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the merits of Og will withstand them, that the Jewish people won't be able to win this war. Meaning that all the way back in Bereshis chapter 14, verse number 13, there it says that Vayavoy Apolit, that the escapee, meaning that there was a war of the kings, and there the four kings captured Sodom and all the people there, and they also captured Lot. Then it's written, Vayavoy Apolit, that the escapee, the fugitive, came and told Avram Avinu that Lot was kidnapped, and this Polit, according to the Gemara, it's Og Melech HaBashan, and because he told Avram Avinu that his nephew was kidnapped, and that because out of his saying came out a Kiddush Hashem, that Avram Avinu, a few people, was able to capture those four kings, therefore Hashem gave the reward to Og Melech HaBashan that he should live a long life, and he should live from the time of Avram Avinu until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. True that Og Melech HaBashan did not have good intentions, because according to Rashi and according to the Gemara, his intention was that Avram Avinu will fight the war and he will die in the war. Like that, Og was going to be able to marry Sarah Imenu, but nonetheless, Hashem gave him the reward. And because of that merit and because of that reward, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that that reward will withstand, that the Jewish people won't be able to conquer Og. Therefore, Hashem has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tiru oisoi, do not fear him, because I gave him in your hand. Meaning that even though I know that you are fearful of him, do not worry, because I gave him in your hand. Then if the Torah wants to say that Balak saw what Hashem did to those two kings, the Torah should have said that Balak saw what Hashem did to Og Melech HaBashan, since Og Melech HaBashan was the one that the Jewish people were more fearful, and therefore it's a greater thing that he was killed than Sihon was killed. Then why does the Torah only write down that Balak saw what the Jewish people did to the Amorite? Sefer Aruga Saboisam explains that when the verse is saying that Balak saw everything that Israel did to the Amori, it is referring specifically to Og Melech HaBashan. And he brings a Zohar on the verse that we mentioned previously on the war against Og Melech HaBashan, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu not to fear him, says, Al Tira Oisoi, do not fear him. There he brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that maybe the merit that Og Melech HaBashan was circumcised because he was part of those people who were born in the house of Avraham Avinu and he received the sign of the breeze, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. And therefore he translates, Al Tira Oisoi, do not be afraid of his ois, not do not be afraid of him, do not be afraid of his sign, which means do not fear his sign of circumcision, because that sign won't stand by him to win against the Jewish people. And also the Sefer Aruga Saboisam brings the verse in Bereishis chapter 18, verse number 1, where there it says, Vayero Elev Hashem, Baroine Mamre, Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he is sitting at the door of his tent because the day is hot, and Rashi is bothered why specifically Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu in the plains of Mamre. Rashi says, Lefisha Nosan lo Eitzel Amila, because Mamre gave advice to Avraham Avinu on the circumcision. Niglo Elav Bechelkoi, therefore Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu in the portion of Mamre. And the simple interpretation is that Avraham Avinu went around asking if he should circumcise or not, and Mamre gave him advice that he should circumcise, therefore Hashem appeared in his portion. But Mefarshim are bothered by this interpretation of how is it possible that once Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to circumcise, that Avraham Avinu goes around and asking if he should follow what Hashem tells him or not. Clearly, if Hashem told him to circumcise, he would circumcise. Then what kind of advice was Avraham Avinu asking? Therefore, the Aruga Saboisam tells what is the idea of circumcision, and the Aruga Saboisam brings two interpretations in regards to the circumcision. The first interpretation he brings down is the interpretation of the Rambam in Moreh Nevoichim, Chelek Gimel Perek Memtes, where there the Rambam explains that the reason for the circumcision is to curb our lust, to curb our desires, to curb our immorality, meaning that once you circumcise, your desires become a little bit diminished, lessened, and therefore we do the circumcision. As a matter of fact, that is the simple interpretation of what is written in Rashi in chapter 41, verse number 55, meaning that when Yosef was appointed to be viceroy of Egypt and he was in charge of all the grain, Rashi breaks down that the people complained against Yosef to Paroi. That is on verse number 55. And Paroi tells him that everything that Yosef tells you, do. So Rashi explains, what does it mean? Rashi says, Yosef was telling them to circumcise. When it came to Paroi to complain, Paroi says, do whatever Yosef tells you. But the question is, why did Yosef tell the Egyptians to circumcise? And Mefarshim explained that since Yosef predicted that it was going to be 7 years of famine, and Yosef wanted them to have some merit, or at least not so much liability, and it is known that the main sin of Egypt was immorality, therefore Yosef figured that one way to curb their immorality is to have everybody circumcised. Like that could be that they'll be able to survive because they won't have so much liability. So we see that one of the reasons for the circumcision is the reason of curbing immorality. But Sefer Aruga Saboisam says that the other reason for curbing immorality is the reason clearly stated in the Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha in Bereishis chapter 17, verse number 13, where there says, circumcise everybody, and vayubirisi bivsarchem nivri soilam, that my covenant is going to be in your flesh as a sign of a covenant forever. Meaning the fact that you have a bris, that strengthens the covenant between the Jewish people and Hashem. And Daruga Saboisim explains that the difference between the two reasons is that according to the first reason, once you circumcise, that action itself already caused to curb your desires, your immorality, and therefore the job of the circumcision is already done. Meaning there is nothing to do anymore, the circumcision. The circumcision is just to keep you from being immoral, and by you doing the circumcision, that is done. Therefore, the mitzvah is technically finished already. But if I hold that this mitzvah is a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, meaning that Hashem looks at the bris and he sees that this is the covenant, then this covenant keeps going until the day you die. That means the mitzvah of milah does not finish until the day you die. And in a way to emphasize this reason, that this is a covenant between the Jewish people and Hashem, we say when a person circumcised, Keshem shenechnas lebris, in the same way that he came into the covenant, kach yichonas leTorah leChupa ulemasim tovim, so too with this covenant, he should come in to Torah, Chupa, and good deeds. So we try to emphasize that this circumcision is not just to curb immorality, it is also a covenant between us and Hashem, and with this covenant we should enter Torah, Chupa, and good deeds, because like that will strengthen our relationship with Hashem. Sefer Rukas Aboisam brings another difference between the reason of curbing immorality and the reason of having a covenant forever. The difference would be what kind of bracha to make. Meaning that when you have something that it's going to finish right away, then you should make the bracha lamul, to circumcise. Meaning, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam, asher kitzonu b'mitzvos tzivanu, lamul, to circumcise. Because once you do the circumcision, that is already finished. Therefore, just to circumcise, and that would be it. But if the mitzvah would endure a longer time, then instead of making the bracha lamul to circumcise, then we make the bracha al hamila on the circumcision. Meaning that since the circumcision does not finish, then you can't make the bracha to circumcise because it's not finished yet. You make the bracha on the circumcision, which means on the circumcision that's going to go on all your life, the circumcision that's going to be your covenant between Hashem for all your life, so therefore the bracha would be on the circumcision. And he explains that since we know that Avraham Avinu was very humble, then Avraham Avinu did not think that he'll have a covenant with Hashem all the day of his life. Therefore, Avraham Avinu felt that the reason for the circumcision is only in order to curb his immorality. Therefore, Avraham Avinu was going to make the bracha Asher kitzonu b'mitzvos tzivanu lamul to circumcise, because he thought that once he circumcises, then the mitzvah is already over. He did the job, he curbed his immorality, and that is it. But Mamre understood that the reason why Hashem wants Avraham Avinu to circumcise is to have a covenant, a bond with Avraham Avinu for eternity, for him and for his children for eternity. Therefore, Mamre gave him the advice to make the bracha Asher kitzonu b'mitzvos tzivanu al hamila, on the circumcision. It's not that Avraham Avinu was asking Mamre if he should circumcise or not. Avraham Avinu was going to circumcise anyways. The difference was what kind of bracha to make on the circumcision. Either to make the bracha lomul, to circumcise, because that would mean just to curb his immorality, to curb his desires, and then would be finished. Or to make the bracha al hamila, on the circumcision, which means that the mitzvah would last forever, and therefore you have to make on the circumcision, because just by cutting the flesh you don't finish circumcising, you only finish circumcising at the end of your life. So therefore, Mamre gave him the advice, al hamila, on the circumcision, and because of that advice, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu in Mamre's portion. According to this, Sefer Aruga Saboisim explains that since Mamre gave advice to Avraham Avinu on the circumcision, Mamre was called Amoiri. And he explains that the reason why Mamre was called Amoiri is based on Tehillim chapter 119, verse number 162, where there it says, Sos Onoichi Alim Rosecho, that I rejoice on your saying. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Lamed Omed Aleph 138, writes down that this is referring to Amila, to the circumcision, which the circumcision is called the saying. Or Sefer Ugas HaBoisim brings down that it could be from the language in Dvarim, chapter 26, verse number 17, where there it says, Es Hashem Hemartu Ayoim, Hashem, you distinguish today. And this is a language of distinction, that we give honor to Hashem, and we have the distinction of Hashem on us. Therefore it says, that Sos Onoichi Al Imrosecho, that I rejoice on your distinction, which means the distinction of the circumcision that we have on ourselves. Which, according to this, Mamre, because he gave the advice of the circumcision, is called in a name of distinction, because he gave the advice on the circumcision. According to this, says Sefer Ugas HaBoisim, that this is exactly what Balak feared. Balak knew that Og was circumcised. And still, even though Og was circumcised, that did not help him when he came against the Jewish people, which implies that even though you change your ways, you do good deeds, still that wouldn't help you when you stand against the Jewish people. Therefore, Balak decided that instead of changing his ways, he is going to hire Bilam to curse the Jewish people. And therefore, he cursed them. And according to this, Sefer Ugas HaBoisim says that when he says that Balak saw everything that happened to Amori is referring to the circumcision, as we mentioned, and because the circumcision distinguishes you, therefore Balak saw that everything the Jewish people did to the one that was distinguished by the sign of the breeze, which means to Oig Melech HaBashan, and still he saw that it did not help him to win the war against the Jewish people. Therefore, he went out and hired Bilam. I wanted to translate according to this Sefer Ugas HaBoisim. Then when the verse says that Balak saw everything that Israel did to Amori, it does not mean Sichon Melech Amori, it actually means Oig Melech HaBashan. And I will go with the Rashi, that Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was fearful of Oig Melech HaBashan because Oig Melech HaBashan had the merit of telling Avraham Avinu about Lot being kidnapped. Now I could say that when it says that Balak saw everything that Israel did to Amori, it could be to Amori means to the one who said, meaning to the one who said to Avraham Avinu that Lot was kidnapped, and yet that merit did not stand by Og when he confronted the Jewish people. Balak saw that, and because Balak saw that, therefore Balak became fearful, and he thought that good deeds won't help him, like the Ugas HaBoisim explains, and therefore Balak decided to hire Bilam. So according to this, Lo Amori does not mean to the one who is circumcised or to the one that has the distinguished. It means Lo Amori to the one who said to Avraham Avinu that Lot was kidnapped, meaning that Balak saw that Og had that merit, and still that merit did not stand by him when he confronted the Jewish people. Therefore, Balak feared the Jewish people. The Shem Yishmul goes against Rashi, and the Shem Yishmul in Shnas Tov Reish Ayin Tes explains that Balak, when he hired Bilam, did not see yet the war against Oig Melech HaBashan. Meaning that even though the war against Oig Melech HaBashan is written in last week's Parsha, in the end of Parshas Chukas, as we mentioned, nonetheless, the Shem Yishmul brings that the war against Oig Melech HaBashan did not take place only after Bilam tried to curse the Jewish people and was unsuccessful. And he explains that the war against Sichon took place in Elul, and afterwards came Rosh Hashanah, and then we had the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And he explains that during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is the days where Bilam tried to curse the Jewish people, and the verse says that we have to be thankful for Hashem that he did not get angry during those days, because during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Hashem did not get angry against the Jewish people. And only afterwards, it was when the war against Oig was. Therefore, he explains that Bilam could not see what happened to Oig Melech HaBashan. He could only see what Hashem did to the Emori, to Sichon Melech Emori, because Oig Melech HaBashan was not there yet. And he says that Rashi's opinion was that this is after the wars, but according to the opinion of the Shem Yishmol, he brings that the war against Oig was after Bilam. Then comes out that Parshas of Balak should have been between the wars between Sichon and Oig, but maybe because the Torah wanted to put both wars together, therefore the Torah decided to put Balak after the wars. But in fact, Balak and Bilam's trying to curse the Jewish people came before the war of Og. The Sefon explains that when it says Vayar Balak, that Balak saw, it means that Balak saw how the Jewish people went to war and how they won the war, not Kederech HaTeva, not in a natural way, but in a supernatural way. To understand this Sephorna, we have to go to the Balaturim, where the Balaturim says that what did Balak see? Balaturim says, Balak saw that the sun stopped in the sky for Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that it was in a supernatural way, and therefore Balak was afraid of the Jewish people. To understand this, we have to go to the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Omet Aleph 20a, and also Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Hey Omet Aleph 25a, where the version is a little bit different, but nonetheless we are going to explain the version in Tainus Daf Chav Omet Aleph 20a, where there the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, Shloisha Nigdama Lohem Chama Bavuram. Three people, the sun stayed east on their behalf, meaning it was late on their behalf. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua Binun, Benakdimon Ben-Gurion. So the Gemara explains, Bishloi Benakdimon Ben-Gurion, I know from oral tradition. And there's a whole story in the Talmud, how Hashem caused the sun to stay because of him. Yoshua, it's written clearly in chapter 10, verse number 13, that it says there, Vayudem Hashemesh, that the sun stayed still, Vayoreach Amot, and the moon stayed in its place. So therefore we know that during the war, they caused the sun to stay in its place. Elo Moshe Menalon. How do I know that during the war of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he caused the sun to stand in its place? So the first opinion brings that we have a Gzeirah Shavah from the word Ochel Ochel, meaning that it's written here the word I'll begin, and it's written there, the world I begin. And therefore we say that the same thing happened to both. Meaning, the Torah writes down in Devarim chapter 2, verse number 25, right after Hashem tells us to go to war against Sichon, there it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the nation, Hayom hazeh, this day, Ochil teispagdecho, veirascho pnei oamim, tachas kol ha-shamayim. Hashem will place dread and fear of you on all the people under the entire heaven. And then it's written right there that they sent messengers to Sichon Melech Amori and he went to war. So we see that when it says Teispagdecho, give fear, is referring to the war of Sichon. And then it's written by Yoshua that Hashem started to Gadalcho, to make him great. That means that in the same way that by starting to make great, it means stopping the sun. So too, when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people that Hashem started to give the fear, it also means that during the war against... And then the Gemara gives a second Gzeirah Shavah, which clearly brings down that the sun stopped when there was a fight against the Amori, because the Gemara brings down the verse that we mentioned before, where it says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that in this day, Ochel teispagdecho, I begin to place dread of you in all the nations. And then it's written in Yoshua chapter 10, verse number 12, where it says, Beyoim teis Hashem es Amori efnei bnei Yisrael, in the day that Hashem gave the Amorite in front of the Jewish people, Vayoim elein Yisrael, and then it says to the Jewish people, Shemesh begivoin doim, the sun in Givoin says silent, Vayorech be'emek Ayalon, and the moon should stay in the valley of Ayalon. So we see clearly that when Hashem fought the Amori, then the sun stood. So too, when it's written that Hashem is going to fight Sichon Melech Amori, the sun stood. Then according to this verse, clearly says that when there was a fight against the Amori, the sun stood. Therefore, we could say that this is exactly what Balak saw. True that there was a fight of Sichon ve'Og, but he became more scared because of this fight against Sichon, because in the fight against Sichon, the sun stood in its place, and then it showed that the Jewish people are winning Shaloi Kedrech HaTeva in a supernatural way. Then he knew that in a natural way he cannot fight the Jewish people. Therefore, Balak decided to hire Bilam to fight the Jewish people. And according to this, the only reason it's written Emoiri is because by the Emoiri, by the fight against Sichon, the sun stopped. It is important to note that even though Rashi at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Hei 25, explains that the sun stopped for Moshe Rabbeinu in the war against Sichon, as the verse of the Gemara clearly implies, but Rashi on the verse on Dvarim chapter 2, verse 25, writes down there that Hashem gave the fear under all heavens. We learn from here that the sun stopped at the war of Oig, and there is a parenthesis that says Sichon. Therefore, it is unclear what Rashi held. If Rashi held that the sun stopped by the war of Sichon and Oig, or just by the war of Oig. But if we learn that the sun stopped by the war of Sichon, then we could explain that this is exactly what Balak saw. He saw that Hashem made the sun stop in an unnatural way. That means that from heavens they are fighting against Sichon on behalf of the Jewish people. Therefore, he feared the Jewish people, and therefore he wanted to cause harm for the Jewish people in a supernatural way by cursing the Jewish people. I would be amiss if I wouldn't bring down what is written in Sefer Chazon Yosef. Sefer Chazon Yosef brings down that the story of Balak is the story of the Jewish people throughout history, meaning that whenever the nations of the world do something against the Jewish people, that is totally ignored. But whenever the Jewish person tries to defend himself and causes harm because he becomes victorious when he defends himself, that is totally written up and that is totally criticized, and that becomes a call to harm the Jewish people. For example, every day, unfortunately, missiles fall in the south of Israel. Yet we don't hear anything from the international press. Nobody is giving an outcry that a million people are sitting in shelters. You don't even hear them even mentioning that there were missiles sent into Israel. But yet, when Israel retaliates and Israel hits a target inside Gaza, and Israel is only doing it to defend themselves, then we'll find the whole world crying out about the Jewish people's aggressions. The UN starts making Security Council's meeting to discuss this aggression, and everybody condemns Israel for what they are doing. And Sefer Chazon Yosef explains that this is exactly the story of Balak. Meaning, when the Jewish people went to war against Sichon, it is not like the Jewish people decided to bring an army and decided to go to war against Sichon. They first sent a messenger to Sichon and asked him to let us please pass by your land, and we will pay you for whatever we eat, and we'll even go in the shorter route wherever you tell us to go, but just let us pass to the land because we need to get into Eretz Israel, and you are on the way between our land and that land, so therefore we have to pass by your land to go to Eretz Israel. And Sichon, instead of accepting it, not only did he say he did not accept it, he came out to war against the Jewish people. So the Jewish people, when they fought Sichon, they weren't starting a war. They had to defend themselves because Sichon came out of his nation to war against the Jewish people. So therefore, there was no choice. The Jewish people had to defend themselves. And the Jewish people won. But yet, when Balak sees what happened, he only sees what the Jewish people did to the Amori, to Sichon, that we fought them and we beat them, but he doesn't see what Sichon did to the Jewish people, that he is the one who started the war. Therefore, Sefer Chazon Yosef explains that the story of Balak is the story of all the Jew haters throughout generations, that they only are upset when the Jewish person does something, even though he's defending himself, and they only look at this part of history. They don't look at the whole story to see who started it and who defended himself. They only look at the part what the Jewish people did to the Amori, but not what the Amori did to the Jewish people. The Aruka Saboisem brings the Medrash Rabbe Parsha Chof Simen Beis, where the Medrash Rabbe brings exactly what Rashi says. The Medrash says, Ro'am also b'sichem ve'oik, that he saw what happened to Sichem ve'oik, that we used to pay them, that the people of Moab used to pay Sichem and Oik protection money, and after they died, then they were afraid for themselves. And the second opinion that the Medrash Rabbe brings is that Balak saw the miracles that happened in the river Arnon. The miracles that happened in the river Arnon is written in Rashi in Bamidbar chapter 21, verse number 15, where Rashi there says that what happened is that there are two big mountains opposite each other. One mountain is in the part of Moab and it has protrusions, and the other mountain is in the part of the Amori and it has caves, and the protrusions are exactly opposite those caves. Then there is a valley between them where the Jewish people have to pass in that valley. And the Amori said that we are going to hide in the caves, and when the Jewish people come, we'll throw on them rocks and arrows and we'll kill them all. But a miracle happened, Rashi says, and I'm going to quote now Rashi, that Kivin Shebo Yisrael Avoyer, that as soon as Jewish people started to pass, Nizdaza Ha'or Shel Eretz Yisrael, the mountain that was in the land of Israel, trembled. Keshivcha Yoitzas Lahakbil Pnei Gvirto, like a slave woman who is coming to greet her mistress. Veniskarev Letzad Har Shel Moav, that mountain that had the holes in it, the caves in it, came to the mountain of Moab, which had the protrusions. Venichlasu Oysom Ashodaim Letoch Oysonekoim, then the protrusions went into the caves, and the Amorites were hidden in the caves. Veharogam, and it killed them all, meaning they got crushed by the mountains coming together. And the Jewish people only found out about this miracle that Hashem made for them through the well, because they saw the blood of the Amorites coming down through the well. And right after it's written this story, it's written on chapter 21, verse 17, Oz Yashir Yisrael es Ashira Hazois, that then the Jewish people sang this song, Ali Be'er, come up a well, and Olah, call out to it. And the Shira on the well does not mention anything about the blood of the Amorites. That means that the Shira on the well was just for the water that we received in the well. Then the Aruka Saboisem asks, why specifically now, after the miracle of Nachal Arnon, they decided to sing Shira for the water that they sing on the well? They should have sang the praises of the water of the well during the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert. Why specifically just now, after all these 40 years that the Jewish people are there, that is exactly when they decide to sing Shira? They should have done it much earlier. Therefore, Sefer Aruka Saboisem explains that originally the Jewish people did not want to sing Shira for the waters of the well, because they believe that the waters of the well are miraculous. And since the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a writes down that a person should not pray for a miracle, because maybe they will not make him a miracle, but even if they make him a miracle, the Gemara says, Menakiloi mischiyosof, we deduce him from your merit, meaning Hashem deduces from the merits that you have for the miracles that he makes for you. And we learn that from Yaakov Avinu, that it is written in Bereshis chapter 32, verse number 11, that when Yaakov Avinu was facing Esav, he was afraid of him. And there it's written, why is he afraid? Because katointi, because I become diminished, mikol hachasadim mikol emes asher osis adavdecho, from all the kindness and all the truth that you did to your servant. Meaning that Yaakov Avinu knew that even though Hashem had promised that he will protect them, nonetheless, since Hashem made many miracles for Yaakov Avinu, therefore Yaakov Avinu believed that he doesn't have enough merits to fight against Esav, to earn the protection of Hashem. So too the Jewish people felt that since the well of Miriam is a miracle, therefore it's not proper to sing a praise to Hashem for that well, because every time we drink from the well, we lose some merits. But there was a mistake by the Jewish people, because the well of Miriam is true, it is part of nature. Because the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Hey, the fifth Perek, Mishnah Vav, the sixth Mishnah writes down that the well of Miriam is one of the 10 things that Hashem created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, Friday afternoon before sundown. That means it's already part of creation, and it was created specifically for the Jewish people. But the Jewish people did not know that, and because the Jewish people did not know that, they thought that it's a miracle. Therefore, they didn't want to sing a praise on the well of Miriam. But once they saw that the mountains are coming together to meet the Jewish people, then they realized that the well of Miriam is not a miracle anymore. Because Rashi brings down in the first Rashi of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elohim, that in the beginning Hashem created. Rashi gives many interpretations, but Rashi writes down Bereishis Bishvil Torah Shanikra Reishis, that the world was created because Hashem wanted that people accepted the Torah that is called Reishis, and also writes down Bishvil Israel Shanikra Reishis, that Bereishis, that the world was created because of the Jewish people that are called Reishis. So therefore, now that the Jewish people accepted the Torah, then clearly the whole creation was created for the Jewish people, and they came to this realization because they saw how the mountains are coming together, and Rashi explains Kishivcha, like a slave woman is coming to greet the mistress. Then they realized that they are the reason why the world was created. Then they also realized that the well of Miriam is not such a miracle. Therefore, only after they saw the miracle of Nahal Arnon, when they realized that the whole creation was done for them, that the land of Israel is coming out to greet them, because it's like a slave woman who is greeting the mistress, and therefore the Jewish people, because they accepted the Torah, are the purpose of the creation of the whole world, that brought them to the realization that the well of Miriam must be part of nature, and therefore only now, after this realization, they sang the Shira for the well of Miriam, because now they realized that the well of Miriam is not a miracle, it is part of creation that was done for the Jewish people who will be accepting the Torah. According to this, Sefer Aruga Saboisim explains that this is exactly what Balak saw, meaning that Balak was a very strong man, and he wasn't afraid of the Jewish people. And also, Balak knew what is written in Devarim chapter 2, verse number 9, that Hashem commanded the Jewish people, Al Totzar as Moav, that we are not allowed to go to war against Moav. But nonetheless, Balak started to be afraid. Why did he start to be afraid? Because he saw what happened in Nahal Arnon. In Nahal Arnon, the Jewish people did not know that the Amorites are hiding in the caves. Nonetheless, the whole nature got together in order to serve the Jewish people. And through that, the Amorites got killed. That since they wanted to harm the Jewish people, they got killed. Even though the Jewish people didn't do anything, nature itself fought to save the Jewish people, because the whole world was created for the Jewish people. Therefore, Balak was afraid that even though the Jewish people aren't physically going to fight me, but nonetheless, nature itself is going to conspire to work for the Jewish people, and Moab is going to be destroyed through that, and therefore, Balak wanted to hire Bilam to curse the Jewish people, like that the Jewish people won't be there, so he won't have to be afraid. And according to this, Sefer Agur Saboisim explains that the words of Balak are very exact, meaning that on chapter 22, verse number 4, when Balak is afraid of the Jewish people, he explains, Ato now, Yalachu HaKoles, Kol Sivoyseinu, the whole congregation will lick the entire surroundings, Kilchoy HaShoir Esyerek HaSoda, like the axe licks the greenery of the field. And all the Mefarshim are wondering about the connection that he makes of the Jewish people to the axe licking the greenery of the field. And the Aruga Saboisim explains this based on what is written in Sefer HaMikne in the end of Kedushin on the Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis on Med Aleph 82a. There the Mishnah says, Upshim Belozer Oimer, Ra'isa Miyomecho, have you ever seen in your days Chaye Ve'oif, a wild animal or a bird, Sheeshlo Unois, that they have a trade, and yet they sustain themselves without travail, without any troubles, but they are only created to serve me, and I was created to serve my master, isn't it right that I should be sustained without any difficulty? Meaning if the animals that are made to serve me, they get fed without any tzar, without any pains, then for sure I, that am made to serve my master Hashem, then for sure I should get my livelihood without any pains, without any tzar. But unfortunately, I have corrupted my ways, v'kipachtis panasasi, and therefore I forfeited my sustenance. So Sefer HaMikneh explains that there are four types of creations in the world. There are creations called domem, which are silent, which normally they are meant to be mineral. And then there is tzomeach, things that grow, which are vegetable. And then there is chai, things that live, which is animal. And then there is medaber, speaker, which is man. And he explains that each level desires and wants to be elevated by the other level. Therefore, each level looks forward to give to the other level. And he explains that the doimim, the mineral, gives the nutrients for the tzomeach, for the one that grows, because he wants to be elevated to the higher level. And the tzomeach, the one who grows, wants to give food for the chai. He desires to give to the one who lives, to the animal that eats it, because he wants to be elevated to the higher level. And the animal looks forward to be elevated to a medaber, to the one who speaks. And therefore, it should be that a person shouldn't have to work so hard for a living, because those creatures want to give for the person to be able to get to a higher level. But unfortunately, once a person corrupts his way, he is tantamount to an animal, then automatically the animal doesn't want to give to the person, because it will not achieve his accomplishment. It won't be elevated, because it's like one animal to another animal. Therefore, the person now has to work harder for his livelihood, because the things that are below him don't want to be elevated by this person, because this person is not really a person, he's like an animal since he sinned. Like the verse says, Nimshoel kabahemo is didmo, that would tantamount like they are animals. According to this, Sefer Ugas HaBoisim explains that is exactly what Balak was afraid of. Because Balak saw that in the same way that in nature the grass wants to serve the animal, meaning that like the animal when it licks the grass of the earth, which means that we see that the tzomeach wants to give to the chai, so we see that it desires to get elevated, it desires to go to a higher level. So too, Balak saw that through Nachal Arnon, through the miracle that happened by the rivers, that we saw that nature wants to serve the Jewish people, that even though the Jewish people did not know that the Amorites are ready to kill them, but nonetheless, nature itself, the mountains, wanted to serve the Jewish people. So therefore, Balak was afraid. Balak was afraid that nature is going to serve the Jewish people in the same way that the grass serves the animal, that it desires to go to a higher level. So too, the nature, by serving the Jewish people, he wants to get up to a higher level. Therefore, Balak was afraid that even though Hashem told the Jewish people that they are not allowed to fight against Moab, nonetheless, nature itself was going to do what it wants in order to protect the Jewish people. Therefore, Balak was afraid, and therefore Balak hired Bilam. But going back to our first pasuk in our parsha, the Kliokra translates this pasuk completely differently, and the Kliokra says that this pasuk is referring not to Israel the nation, but to Israel, Israel Saba, our grandfather Yaakov Avinu. And the Kliokra explains it based on the pasuk in Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi, chapter 48, verse number 22. Where there Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Yosef HaTzadik. There it says, Vani, as for me, Nosati Lecho, I gave it to you, Shechem Echad Al Achecho, one portion more than your brother, Asherokachti, that I took, Miyad Hoemori, from the Amorite, Becharbi Uvekashti, with my sword and my bow. There the word Shechem is translated in many ways. One way is that it is really referring to the city of Shechem. And after Shimon Velevi destroyed the city of Shechem, the neighboring people came to fight a war against Yaakov and his children. And Yaakov had to fight that war, Becharbi Uvekashti, with his sword and bow. Others claim that this is actually the extra portion that Yaakov Avinu got for the firstborn from Esav. And he got that with his sword and bow. Rashi translates, his sword means his chokhmah, his wisdom, and bow means his tefillah, his prayer. And Rashi explains that Esav is called Emori because he did the action of Emori, or because he was able to fool his father through his mouth, through his speech, from the language Emor, from the language speak. Therefore, the Kli Yaakov explains that this is what Balak saw. Balak saw everything that Israel, that Yaakov Avinu did to the Emori, to Esav. He saw the power of the wisdom and prayer of Yaakov Avinu, and therefore he knew that his children also have this power, and therefore Balak was afraid of the Jewish people because he realized that through war itself he won't be able to get them, because since Yaakov has the power of speech, only the power of speech could harm Yaakov. Therefore, specifically, Balak went to hire Bilam, which has the power of speech for the evil side, to counteract the power of speech of Yaakov. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should realize on our own the power of speech. We should increase our prayers to Hashem, then we'll merit to have the Mashiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.